You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
I am joined by the handsome Scott Merkin. Merk, we're getting close to the trade deadline, of course, Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern. I see Larry King is opining on what's going to happen at this deadline for the White Sox. He predicts a trade between the Dodgers and White Sox. What do you think? Is Mr. King onto something there?
Well, you know, I mean, Larry King has some connections to the White Sox, and he also has big Dodgers diehard, very frequent visitor of Camelback Ranch, where the Sox and Dodgers share a spring training facility, so you can't dismiss it. I think the Sox are pretty much, they're always in listening mode, and not just at the trade deadline. They're always open for something that can improve them now and in the future. But, you know, a little interesting turn over the weekend with the four-game sweep over the Indians, and again, it's something that Rick Hahn's got to decide if it's kind of, you know, and I'm using the word that he used last year, which is kind of figure out if it's fool's gold or if it's really something that's turned around and see what happens. I think basically the main guy, barring some kind of surprise, that could go is Jeff Samardzija. That's because he's a free agent at the end of the year. So aside from that, I don't see a lot of other stuff happening for the White Sox, or at least movement from the White as sellers.
Yeah, they've definitely good time to make it interesting for the front office, I guess. It's good headache to create if you can get them thinking through some things. Because obviously, a few days ago, it looked like Samardzija was definitely a goner. You know, if there was any kind of action on him, but
you know, here's the thing about this team, and this is no offense to the great team in the city of Cleveland, but you know, I'm not taking anything away from the White Sox because they played probably their four best games back to back. I got them all in there, I think, of the season. But Cleveland looked pretty awful this weekend. So
they did.
You have to decide, was this really a turnaround? Because there was some offense for once. There was some clutch hitting. There was some great defense. The pitching's pretty much been there, I'd say, you know, three-quarters of the season so far. Or was it a really good run against a substandard team? And they have done this before this year. You know, they swept Houston at home, which is, you know, right now a pretty solid playoff team, getting better by the day. And then went and lost 8 in a row after that. And then before the All-Star break, they went 9-3 into that last game of the first half. Jake Arrieta shut them down, and then they went 1-5 to start the second half before they swept Cleveland. So you can look at it, you know, positive and say, man, they swept 4 in a row, and, you know, look at how well they're playing. Or you can say, well, they're 5-5 since the All-Star break overall. So you got to figure, even in parity, what is it? This is the biggest question, I think, for all these teams that are, you know, kind of hanging around 500 and hanging around the second wild card is, what is it worth to give up to play that one game? You know, yes, you could win that one game and go on a run like the Royals did, or you could give up a lot like the A's and be out in, you know, one day after the season ends. So that's what the Sox have got to figure out.
The thing for me with Samardzija and his market is, you know, yes, if you were acquiring Samardzija for the next 3-4 years, if that was what was at stake here at this trade deadline, then I absolutely go for it, you know. But you're acquiring him as a 2-month rental in a season where he's been about league average, and he clearly has some adjustments to make from a consistency standpoint. Now, granted, he was brilliant against the Indians the other night, and as you said, Merk, the Indians just looked brutal that whole weekend. But you know, he's not quite as bankable an asset for the stretch run as some of these other guys. You know, Cueto's had a nice year when healthy, or when not having starts skipped. And David Price, of course, if he's traded, you know, he's obviously top of that class. And there's so many arms who are available or who could potentially be available between now and Friday that I almost feel like it waters down the Samardzija market a little bit. And especially for the White Sox, who, A, might have a chance at extending him, or B, you know, can recoup that first-round draft pick, you know, should he sign elsewhere this winter. So, I don't know. I almost feel like they might be better off just riding out with the Shark, not knowing, of course, what kind of offers are coming in or what kind of discussions are being had. It just seems, you know, from the outside looking in, it just seems like the return package might not be quite as overwhelming as it was for, say, a Cueto.
Well, I think, you know, they're asking for, from what I've heard, they're asking for a main prospect and then some depth, which is what they kind of did with the Jake Peavy trade in 2013.
Right.
And don't, you know, be surprised if Rick gets creative again and does a three-team type of deal like he did, you know, as we're in Boston right here. He did with Peavy going to Boston and Jose Iglesias going to Detroit, and then obviously Ivo Garcia and now Frankie Montes, who's emerged as a pretty solid prospect. coming to the White Sox. I would say one thing about Smarts is he's been much more consistent of late. If you look at his numbers, he's gone, I believe it's 9 straight starts. He's pitched at least 7 innings, and I think it's 12 of his last 13. And there's a couple where he gave up 5 or 6 runs. But you know what? That's a pretty valuable commodity to have, especially for a playoff team. You know, I mean,
right.
You got a guy who's helping the bullpen, and even on bad days, even on days that, you know, where he gives up 5 or 6 runs, he's still getting you into the 8th inning. You're in pretty good shape there, and you know, you're hanging close and having a shot to win. So, yeah, I think he's in that mix. I don't think he's, you know, David Price value, because David Price is probably gold standard in this whole market. You know, I don't know if he's, you know, Mike Leake, or if he's what Johnny Cueto, the Royals got, or the, I'm sorry, the Reds got for Johnny Cueto, but I think he's got an immense amount of value. And the Sox are, you know, I would be stunned if in the next couple of days or before the end of the season they announce that they've signed him to extension. Jeff Smart has been pretty consistent, you know, to his credit, from the moment it was getting close to free agency, that he is going to test the water. You know, he's earned that right, and I don't blame him for not going out there. But he's also said that the Sox would still be in the mix, whether he was traded, whether he stayed here for the end of the year, whether they make the playoffs and go a long way, or they finish 78-84, they're in the mix. You know, I think he's enjoyed his time here. He's a Indiana kid. He likes, he's pitched on both sides of town already. You know, so I think they're still in the mix for that. But I don't expect an extension. And I think, you know, he will add to a playoff team. There's no question about it. If you don't have to put him at the number one spot in the rotation, which the Sox are not doing right now, you got a solid innings guy who, yeah, his strikeouts a little down, but still, you know, a good, consistent guy every 5 days is going to help your team.
This is the kind of stuff you have to do this time of year just to cover your butt should something go down. They lined up Eric Johnson to make Tuesday start in case the shark is dealt. What should we know about Eric Johnson in general, Merck, whether or not he takes the mound for them this week?
You know, assistant GM Buddy Bell, who I heard drew a mention from Craig Biggio in the Hall of Fame speech on Sunday, mentioned to us that they've been working backwards with him and Frank Montas, Eric Johnson, because they, you know, they're two guys who almost certainly will be with the team at some point this year, whether it's Tuesday night or whether it's September or anywhere in between. And so they're kind of trying to figure out their innings, so they may skip him a little bit. But, you know, let's face it, he's lined up behind Samard to start. Eric Johnson was one of the top prospects, came up a couple years ago in September, 3 years ago in September, 3 seasons ago in September, had a great run, was being counted on going into last year as, you know, really one of the top three guys in the rotation, and just had an awful year. There's no way to sugarcoat it. And I think he'd say the same thing. You know, he made it 5 starts with the White Sox. He had an ERA above 6. He had 20 more starts at Charlotte, an ERA almost at 7. Walked way too many guys. His velocity was down. And to his credit, he, you know, went home over the offseason. He kind of fixed some mechanics issues, and he's been great this year. And Buddy Bell made a comment that Eric Johnson is better now than when he was when they called him up as a prospect. Not last year, but when they called him up the first time as a prospect. So that's pretty good praise. Now, again, you know, no one's going to say, well, you know, he's all right. We really like him. You know, he's got a great personality. But he didn't have to go over, you know, the top and rave about that either. And, Eric Johnson started the International League All-Star game, and he's really had a nice turnaround. And I think people are anxious to see what he can bring now at the big league level. You know, he's had his first taste of failure and handled it pretty well, and now he's ready to kind of get back up to the majors and show what he can do.
Talk about a guy bringing it at the major league level, and surprisingly so, is Tyler Saladino has taken over that third base spot and even prompted the trade of Connor Gillespie after a kind of a breakout season for Gillespie last year. It's a small sample, Merck, a handful of games, but you know, Saladino's obviously made an impact offensively and defensively. He's been very solid. Talk about this guy, really, from the external perspective, he seems to catch you off guard. How surprised are the White Sox by his development here?
Well, they liked him, and Robin in particular liked him. Robin, a few years ago, called him up, not, you know, called him officially, but asked Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams to bring him up for spring training, and he wasn't even a non-roster invite at that point. So they added him to the spring training roster by Robin's request. So I think, you know, he's just a baseball player. There's really not much else you can do to describe it, but that, you know, I don't know if he's going to wow you with every skill set he has, but he just does the little things right. He catches everything hit over to him, and he's not really a natural third baseman. He's more a shortstop than a third baseman. You know, he has good speed, hits, you know, a good line drive hitter, knows how to hit behind the runner. He's a good two-hitter, and he just, you know, does everything well, and he likes to get out there and get dirty in the field, and he's just one of those guys that just helps your team. You know, I don't know if he's going to ever be giving a speech at Cooperstown in the distant future, but I don't think he has to help this White Sox team. He's been an immeasurable addition already just because he's catching everything over there. Now, Gordon Beckham also did a good job defensively. It was just an off year for Connor, and probably the change of scenery is going to end up helping him. But, you know, Gordon was catching the ball as well as anyone. Gordon's probably, you know, around the infield, maybe one of the better defensive infielders you can find, but he just wasn't hitting the ball. And now Tyler has gotten off to a good start offensively. Obviously, he's going to have to adjust when the league adjusts to him, but right now he's playing great. He's been, you know, just kind of that burst of energy they needed since he joined them at Wrigley Field. And lucky for him, in, you know, his first month of the season, he's already playing road games at Wrigley in the Cubs Sox series, and now he's at Fenway for the first time in his life. And he told me he was real excited about getting to go inside the Green Monster and get a tour of the Green Monster there.
Well, Sal, you know, you don't think he's going to end up in Cooperstown. It's still too early to say if Chris Sale will end up in Cooperstown, but did a piece.
Nice, I like the transition.
Yeah, you like that? Did a piece the other day comparing Sale's career to Randy Johnson at the same number of starts. I believe it's 103 career starts. And Sale's got far better ERA, just better control is what it comes down to. Randy Johnson was, of course, very wild early in his career. And really, not until his age 28, 29 seasons did he really start to become the Randy Johnson we all know and love. But you had a chance to ask Chris Sale about that comparison. This is the guy he, you know, grew up idolizing and obviously bears somewhat of resemblance to on the mound just from the standpoint of being that lanky lefty with the crazy strikeout stuff. But what were his thoughts on that comparison, Merck?
Yeah, one thing about Randy Johnson is when it clicked for him, good Lord, it was over at that point, wasn't it? I mean, yeah, I know at the beginning, you know, hitters joked about they were terrified to face him because he's throwing 100 and didn't know where the heck the ball was going. But, man, once that guy figured it out, holy cow, No reason to bring a bat up there a lot of the times. And, you know, for Sale, it's pretty much clicked right from the get-go. And he's a real humble kid. And one of the reasons why he's become such a good leader for this team, even though, as he jokes, you know, he only plays once every 5 days, but he just kind of laughs at stuff. He's honored by it. You know, I asked him about the strikeout streak, you know, that he had, the double-digit strikeout streak, and he said, it's just kind of overwhelming to hear your name mentioned with Pedro Martinez and Randy Johnson and Nolan Ryan and that sort of thing. And the same thing about Randy Johnson. You know, he liked watching him pitch. He was one of his idols growing up. And he said, just to be mentioned in that is, you know, it's kind of crazy. You know, I talked to him the day before he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he was just saying, you know, we're talking about a guy who's going into the Hall. Two guys were going to the Hall of Fame tomorrow when he mentioned Martinez and Johnson to be included in that group. So, but he doesn't really, he made a reference later on in my conversation to like a horse race where you just keep your blinders on and you keep moving forward and you don't look behind because you're not sure who could be catching you, and you don't look too far ahead because he said you can trip and fall. So he doesn't really get caught up on all the praise. Again, it's a big comment to him and he gets a big kick out of it, but he knows the work he's got to do to continue progressing. And I mean, really, I don't know if you agree, Anthony, but probably one of the top three or four starters in baseball right now, Mr. Chris Sale.
Absolutely. And I made this point in the piece. I mean, you could do it after just 22 minor league appearances, all in relief, and then to come up to the big leagues and just instantly, I mean, obviously he was in the bullpen first, but to catch on as quickly as he did, you know, from a starting standpoint, it's just unbelievable. You just don't see that. Usually it's a slow progression. You know, guys not only have to progress at the minor leagues, but, you know, they have to find their way at the major league level. They have to find what works for them. And Sale just really a seamless transition. And again, yeah, who knows where his career goes from here, but you can't get off to much of a better start than Chris Sale has. So,
you know, we were talking to Robin yesterday about, you know, the guys he watched that had, like, the best stuff he's ever seen. And he mentioned that run that Eric Gagne was on, which, what, we saved 88 straight games, I want to say, where it was just, you know, embarrassing how good he was during the time. And, you know, Chris Sale, for part of that season where he was a full-time reliever, he was, you know, the short time at the year he got drafted and the year after he was a reliever, was, you know, a closer and did pretty well there. And you wonder if he would have stayed in a closer's role, would his arm have held up over that, and would he have become, you know, a 50-save guy every year with the kind of stuff he had? And think about that stuff in short doses, what it could do to hitters, you know, in the eighth or ninth inning, finishing things up. Pretty tough to hit, I would think.
Very tough to hit and very fun to watch. And, Merck, always very fun to listen to you talk White Sox.
I appreciate it.
it's the highlight of my week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.